Hey, are you hungry? Well, you're in luck. Meat and Three is back for season 16. I'm Taylor Early, and we've got a whole new batch of reporters I am so excited to introduce you to.
Hi, I'm Elizabeth Fisher.
Asha McElroy.
Sam Girardi.
Jessica Gingrich.
Hannah from Wisconsin.
I'm a swing dancing audio engineer.
I am a future registered dietitian nutritionist.
I'm from New York, and I love rice and beans.
My favorite food of all time is a shrimp burrito.
I love watermelon.
We've also got a bonus podcast for you called Behind the Internship. Three of our reporters will take you along to show how they develop stories for this very show, Meat and Three.
Hi, I'm Danielle Flitter, a plant-based chef from Philadelphia, living in Mexico City.
I'm Sophia Hooper. I'm a bartender based in Portland, Maine.
My name is Addison Austin Liu. I am a chef and food journalist from Salt Lake City, Utah, and my favorite food is Peruvian.
Rice and beans.
Hand-drawn noodle soup.
So tune in to enjoy a square meal for your ears. And I hope you saved a little room for dessert.
World Central Kitchen is serving thousands of fresh meals to Ukrainian families fleeing home, as well as people remaining in the country. This week on Let's Talk About Food, host Louisa Kasdan spoke with Henry Patterson about his upcoming relief trip.
So you're going to Poland, and I think you told me you're going to be there for at least 2 weeks.
I'm going to Poland to help feed Ukrainian refugees. With Jose Andreas's World Central Kitchen, I decided that's what I wanted to do for my 70th birthday. I leave in just a few days. We all see that what the Russians are doing is contemptible. As a food person, we all love to help. It's in our DNA. And here are people who really need our help. So if you want to help the Ukrainian refugees, either with money or even your hands and heart, find hashtag Chefs for Ukraine and World Central Kitchen. We have to do something. We can help. Remember, hashtag Chefs for Ukraine.
And today I'm joined by Hrishikesh Hirway, a musician and podcast creator. He's the host and creator of Song Exploder, an award-winning podcast and a Netflix original television series where musicians break down the creative process behind their songs. Vulture called Song Exploder probably the best used of the podcast format ever. As a musician, he's released 4 albums under the moniker The 1 AM Radio and an EP with Moors, his project with Lakeith Stanfield. Besides Song Exploder, Hrishikesh produced and co-hosted the award-winning podcast Home Cooking with Samin Nosrat and the West Wing Weekly with Joshua Molina. He's also the host and producer of the Partners podcast. He helped Google launch their first original podcast and is the executive producer of Shirley Manson's podcast, The Jump for MailChimp. As a composer, he has written and recorded original scores for movies and television, including the Netflix series Everything Sucks, the film Save the Date, the CNN documentary R. Nixon, and the video game The Red Lantern. Fast Company named him one of the most creative people in business in 2021. That is a huge honor. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
It is so great to meet you. My gosh. So that's a long list of things you have your hands in. And from what I was reading, you are sort of the darling of podcast creators.
I don't know about that.
You have your hands in a lot of different things. But let's talk about the reason why you're here in Austin this week. You released a new EP, or you're getting ready to release a new EP.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
Yeah. On March 30th, I have a record coming out that's called Rooms I Used to Call My Own. And it's the first songs of my own that I've made in a long time. I mean, being a musician was my full-time job for a long time. And then I kind of hit a wall with it. And it was in that time that I started making podcasts. I was just sort of in the depths of writer's block and trying to figure out what I was going to do while I was trying to come out of the other side of that, not knowing how long it might take. And that's how I started Song Exploder. And then from there, you know, these other podcast projects slowly emerged, and the most recent one was Home Cooking with Samin. But the whole time I was also trying to figure out how to get back to music. And then finally, around 2020, I started writing songs again with other people instead of just trying to, you know, hammer it all out myself the way I had my whole life. And that ended up opening up the door for me, and I started to be able to write again. And yeah, so this EP is the first set of songs that I've made in a decade.
And tell us about some of the collaborators on it. I saw Yo-Yo Ma as one of them, which, wow.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit more about the collaborators.
Yeah, I mean, I wrote the songs with a couple of different friends, a songwriter named Jenny Owen Youngs, who I'm on tour with, actually, this week and next week. And another friend who I met through Jenny, John Mark Nelson, another a great musician. And then when it came time to produce, I produced all the songs myself, but I brought in other people to help me with the production as well, because I felt like the writing part was so nice to do with other people. So it was nice because I met a lot of people through Song Exploder, and I was talking to them sort of under one context. But with some of those folks, I got to be friends with them, and then I could talk to them in this other context and say, hey, this is what I've got going on. And that was how the conversation with Yo-Yo Ma went. You know, we were catching up. He had been on Song Exploder. He'd also been on Home Cooking. And I had moderated a talk for him for another event, and we were catching up, and I was telling him about what I had going on. And I said that I was working on this thing, and I didn't know how I was going to do it. And he said, well, would you ever consider writing a cello part for me? And I was like, what?
Oh, wow.
I said yes. And then he played on the song Between There and Here, which was a real incredible honor.
That's amazing. So you are actually going on tour after this promoting the EP, correct?
Yeah. Yeah. Originally I think I wasn't sure when the record was going to come out, but South by Southwest is this week. And then, I had a couple other things going on next week. And
you have some teaching or lecturing. You do quite a few lecture engagements too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm speaking at my old high school. And so I thought, okay, I'll go on tour around South by Southwest and my visit to my high school. And then the record is coming out just a couple of weeks after that.
That's wonderful. So if people want to catch you on tour, where do they need to follow you?
They can go to my website, which is rishikesh.co. It's R-I-S-H-I-K-E-S-H, rishikesh.co. And all the tour dates and the ticket links and all that stuff are on.
I love the image of you on your website in that sort of deconstructed room.
Oh, yeah.
That was brilliant.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. That's the cover of the record.
Yeah, that's a nice look.
Thanks.
I liked it a lot. So, you know, let's get back to the Home Cooking with Samin Nosrat. She, of course, as people know, is the author of Salt, Fat, Acid, Heat and the Netflix series. How did that come about? Because, you know, you have your hand in music creation. You have Song Exploder podcast, your new EP. What led you down the culinary path?
Well, I don't know how fair it would be to say that I'm anywhere really on the culinary path, but
I don't know. I think if you appreciate it, that's on the culinary path.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, Samin and I met because we both were doing like a speaking thing. We were both speaking at this event in San Francisco. We were back to back, and it was right before the Salt, Fat, Acid, Heat book came out. So she was promoting that and talking to folks about it, and I was speaking right after her about Song Exploder. We didn't actually get to meet, though, because when I got there, she was already on stage, and then when I went, they whisked her away to go do a book signing. So we didn't get to meet, but as part of my like thank you package for doing the event, they gave me a copy of this advanced copy of Salt, Fat, Acid, Heat. And I remember looking at it at the event, and then in the car ride back, I took a picture of it and I posted it on Twitter. I was like, this book is incredible. And Samin and I became friends on Twitter. So we just were friends like that for a little while, for about a year, and occasionally DM'd. And then I asked her, I said, when are you going to come to LA? You know, when's your next trip down to LA? And this was when she was working on the TV show, the Netflix show. So she said, actually, I have to come down every now and then. So she came down and I said, let me take you on a tour of my favorite cookies in Los Angeles.
Oh, that's great.
And she said, okay. And so we got in the car and we drove around to a few different places. And I was like, this is my favorite chocolate chip cookie. I was like, this is also a great cookie. It also happens to be, you know, this one happens to be vegan and gluten-free, but you'd never tell, you know.
Right.
I just got to show her some of my highlights and it was really, really fun.
So it's safe to say you're a cookie fan.
Yes. Yeah.
Who doesn't love a good cookie?
Yeah. And that actually became a big part of our conversation because I had told her about this idea that I had to try and do a cookie version of Song Exploder, where I go to different cities and I find out what the best cookie is, and then I talk to the chef about the creative process behind making that cookie. You know, like Song Exploder, but a cookie. But I couldn't figure out the ending, because with Song Exploder, at the end, once you hear the artist deconstruct their song and talk about how it was made, at the very end, you hear the whole song. And it's kind of the... it feels like a satisfying kind of culmination of the story that you just heard. And I was like, well, how do I do that with a cookie? Because what I really want is for people to be able to taste it. I'm sure, you know, talking about food on the radio is hard. And talking about it in audio in any form. And so I was like, how do I get people to, I want them to be able to eat this thing that I'm talking about. And Samin suggested that I try doing it instead of as a podcast, where I had already recorded an episode. But I didn't know what to do with it. And she suggested that I do something that she did, which was a story for Pop-Up Magazine, which is this traveling show where people tell stories. And she had done something where they actually gave people food in the audience. They gave them a marshmallow with this cinnamon. She was talking about the extinction of certain strains of cinnamon. And so while we were on this cookie tour, I was like, let me take you to this one cookie that actually is from the chef that I interviewed for the pilot episode of what might be a podcast called Cookie Exploder. And she was telling me about this idea. And so right there in the kitchen with me and the chef, Marianne Marr, she had convinced me, and then she convinced Marianne Marr also to do it. And so then we ended up doing this story called Cookie Exploder, where I talked about this cookie, and I talked about my relationship with my dad, and at the end, everybody in the audience got a little version of this mocha fudge cookie from LA, and it was really fun. So Samin, you know, immediately had a very strong influence on my life.
Oh yes,
yeah,
and she's sort of infectious.
Yes, yeah, yes. And a real when she wants to convince you of something, she's very convincing. But I was on board from the beginning, so. We became friends, you know, really close friends, actually, pretty quickly. And then I used to joke with her about, well, not really a joke. She took it as a joke. I meant it seriously, that we should do a podcast together. I was trying to get her to do a podcast called Chef Detective. Samin Nosrat : Chef Detective. Because I had one time run into this problem where I was trying to recreate a recipe from my mom. And I couldn't get it right. It was this mango pie. And I was like, I can't get this weird white flecks in the texture. It's supposed to be this creamy, perfect yellow orange, and it's, you know, it's a mix of mango puree and cream cheese and Cool Whip. And she's like, well, did you bring everything to room temperature? And I was like, well, no, I don't remember my mom doing that. And she's like, well, I bet that's it. And then the next day I tried another batch and I did what she said and I was like, you solved it.
And then perfection.
Yes. And and so then I was like, okay. So right after I had that experience, like 30 seconds after I had that experience, I called her and I was like, this is a podcast we need to make. Samin Nosrat, Chef Detective. People will call you and say, this is the thing that I'm trying to do and I can't figure out how to get it right. And you'll tell them what they're doing wrong.
Exactly.
And she laughed and she said, I'm too busy, you're too busy, haha. And I was like, I'll find the time. I was like, well, I was trying to figure out immediately how to produce this show, but it really didn't take any kind of form until the pandemic. When the pandemic hit, both of us wanted to do something to help people. And I saw she had posted something on her Instagram about something about, I think it was about chickpeas. She posted something about like, oh, what to do with your, you know, pandemic purchase of chickpeas, your bulk purchase of chickpeas or something like that.
Because you never know when you're going to need a chickpea.
Right.
Right? They're so versatile.
And everybody was buying whatever they could get on the shelves. And I had just experienced that myself, going to the grocery store and shelves being empty and getting, you know, I think I ended up with like 6 cans of cannellini beans instead.
And what a weird reflection. Wasn't that like just thinking back on that, that day that everybody, and it is kind of like a pivotal day, it seems like, in your mind of when people are saying people are rushing to get things.
Yeah.
And you're like, this is serious.
Yeah, that's going to be burned in my memory for sure. And also it was really interesting to see the kinds of things that would be left over on the shelf.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so many of the products that I used to overlook at the grocery store. I was
like, for what example? You remember?
Oh, you know, like I remember, you know, pasta was gone everywhere. And so suddenly it's like, oh, these are the, this shape of egg noodle, like flat egg noodles that I had never purchased before. But I was like, I've probably walked by this
right
so often, and that was the only thing left. I was like, well, I guess I'm getting these.
Yes.
So
I guess I'm trying the flat egg noodle.
Exactly. And my cannellini beans. And can I make something out of these two ingredients?
Yes, you can.
So in the middle of that, I said, Samin, maybe this is what the podcast actually should be. Instead of people calling in with these specific problems of I'm trying to make this dish and what's the problem? It's more like, what do we do? Like, how do we, I said, everybody's going to be stuck home cooking. What if we had a show called Home Cooking? And she said, okay. I think the timing was right. You know, she was far enough away from all the things that had been keeping her busy with the TV show. And we started into it. And I think we both had an idea of what it was going to be, and I think what it ended up turning out to be was actually a little different from what we'd expected, but it was really, really nice.
So how explain that a little bit more? How did it turn out differently?
Well, I think that I had this sense of it was going to be, you know, I think we both thought it would have a sense of utility, that people would call in and present us with these problems, and, you know, and we would try and solve them, or I would really, like, present them to Samin and she would solve them. And I would kind of, I was really the producer of the show, but I was, part of my job as a producer was to like be somebody to for Samin to bounce off of and curate the questions and try and build an arc for the shows. But what ended up happening was a big part of it was just our relationship. I think that people were really anxious and people were really lonely. A lot of people, especially at the beginning when we didn't know what was allowed and nobody was vaccinated. A lot of people were at home. A lot of people were at home by themselves. And people were saying, oh, it just feels like I'm hanging out in the kitchen with two of my friends, or I'm listening to a conversation between two friends and I feel like I'm part of it.
But we needed that.
Yeah.
We still need it, but it definitely was, you think back on that and there was that isolation and the unknown and yeah. So no wonder people picked up on your connection.
It was really nice. And so that really ended up becoming kind of like half of what the show was about was, you know, just by virtue of what we were doing, our friendship became a part of it. And it was really nice. It was incredibly meaningful to our friendship. I think it really deepened our relationship over the course of making the show.
That's fantastic. Any other plans going forward?
Well, I'm always trying to rope Samin into things. She's working on her next book, so I think I have to wait until that's done.
I don't think you should give up on the cookie idea. I really don't.
Oh my gosh! Actually,
what?
So,
is this breaking news? Hold on.
Yesterday, I just announced a cookie that I got to help develop. There's a company in Los Angeles called The Very Best Cookie in the Whole Wide World, and they knew from Home Cooking and from my, you know, my social media how much I love cookies, and I had ordered stuff from them, and we just sort of talked over DM about cookies, and Kirsten, who is the baker there, asked if I would ever want to collaborate on something, and I said, well, I have this cookie that I've been trying to get perfected in my own kitchen, which is a spicy dark chocolate pistachio cookie. And I haven't been able to get it, it's pretty good, but not amazing. And And then, but the other thing that happened was over the course of the pandemic, my wife became vegan, my wife Lindsay, and I have tried to follow in her footsteps as much as possible. And the Very Best Cookie developed this vegan version of my favorite cookie of theirs. They have this butter pecan cookie that's incredible. And they delivered vegan versions of it to us. And I was like, how did you do this? I cannot tell it's vegan at all. There's no different. The other cookie I knew really well, and this was identical. And so I said, actually, something that was really beyond my reach would be, is it possible to make a vegan version of a spicy, dark chocolate pistachio cookie? And she said, yes. And we went through rounds of testing, and it's debuting next week. People can order it now. And it's called the Spicy Chocstachio. And it has a subtitle. They told me this. They had an idea for the subtitle because... A subtitle for a cookie, because my record is called Rooms I Used to Call My Own.
I love the route this is going.
Yeah. And so the full title is The Spicy Chocstachio, A Cookie I Used to Call My Own. and they're based in Los Angeles, but they ship nationally. And
the name of the company again?
The Very Best Cookie in the Whole Wide World. And if you go to their...
That's hard to forget.
It is. And if you go to their website, they have a menu item that says Rishi's Collab, and you can get packs of that cookie, and it turned out so good. It's incredibly rich, and the spiciness is really satisfying. It just kind of comes as like a little hint of cayenne that kicks in at the end, and the pistachio texture is really nutty, and so the combination of flavors and textures, it's got a little sea salt, so it's really rich and sweet, but also not too sweet.
You had me sold at spicy chocolate. And then throw in some nuts and all over.
Yeah. And so that's going to be, so it's kind of a ridiculous but very delicious way to celebrate the record coming out. And it's, because of home cooking that we got to this place. And I'm so excited. And people can order it, I think, through the end of April.
Oh, we just pulled it up, and it is looking delicious.
Yeah,
they're on the website right now. I mean, it's a sensory experience just looking at this thing. Oh, that looks nice.
They're really,
I'm
really
sort of
good.
Hungry. It has been so amazing talking to you.
Oh, thank you for having
and
me.
And I can't wait to catch you, your performances. I'm going to be on the lookout for it. And people, please follow this man. He's got so many brilliant ideas. I've had a really good time talking to you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Thanks for listening to HRN's coverage of South by Southwest 2022. You can listen to all of our coverage on our podcast, HRN on Tour. Find it on heritageradionetwork.org or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Are you a business owner? This spring, amplify your business and support HRN's mission by becoming a business member. HRN is dedicated to spotlighting small businesses that keep our communities vibrant. With a $500 business membership, HRN can shine a light on your work, and you can help sustain our mission to transform the way people think about food. As a thank you for this tax-deductible donation, your business will receive on-air mentions, social media posts, listings on our website, and more. You will also play an essential role in keeping nonprofit food radio on the air. Go to heritageradionetwork.org/biz to become a business member today. That's heritageradionetwork.org/BI. I want to tell you about a new podcast called Amuse News. Publishing multiple days a week, Amuse News is your source for food news, interviews from around the food world, and more. On the show, we'll be engaging with food storytellers, from chefs to advocates to people working in the field, and many more. Find Amuse News wherever you get your podcasts. Amuse News is a destination for everyone who's looking for a new, insightful look into the world of food. IZ.